The Busy Creator Podcast, Episode 31, Project Management and Collaboration Tools, with guest Brian Orr.
Hello, and welcome to the Busy Creator Podcast from busycreator.com. The Busy Creator is a show about tools, techniques, and habits you can use to be your most creative, productive self. And now, here's your host, Prescott Perez Fox.
Yes, hello and welcome. Thank you for downloading this episode of the Busy Creator Podcast. This is episode 31, and I'm really excited for this show because it's another one of our single topic episodes where Brian Orr and I get to dive in to the murky waters of project management and collaboration software. This is a huge new sector of the internet software world, and it's one that is equally awesome and confusing. But I think we made pretty good sense of it, especially in keeping Brian's points in mind. Definitely visit the show notes for this episode, especially if this is your first time listening. I link to everything that we mentioned in the show, including how to get in touch with Brian. That link is busycreator.com/podcast/31. Okay, let's get right into the chat about project management and collaboration software. I called Brian at his office in Orlando, Florida. Hey, Brian, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate your time and offering your expertise. Now, when we met a couple of months ago, at the Podcast Movement Conference, we said hello, and then pretty soon into it, you sort of unearthed yourself or unmasked yourself as an expert in this project management software, and you said, I've used them all. I have to collaborate with teams all over the place. I've used tons of different software. And I was like, great, well, we got to have you on, because I said almost from the beginning, I said, I got to connect with someone who's smarter than me on this particular field. And so I'm glad to have you on for another one of our kind of narrow topic episodes about project management software, collaboration tools, online productivity, that sort of thing.
Well, I doubt that I'm smarter than you. I'll start with that, because you seem like a pretty intelligent guy to me, but I'll do my very best to live up to that introduction.
Absolutely. Well, before we jump right in and start being nerds, maybe you could tell us a little bit, in your own words, how you describe yourself and your work, and especially what type of projects you're working on, perhaps that aren't your main job.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm actually... I own a brick-and-mortar HVAC business, and so that is very traditional. There aren't a lot of cutting-edge technologies being used in that business, and I had a problem because I really wanted to develop software that would do all the things that I wanted it to do for our business. And what I found was is that none really existed. There was a lot of different little pieces out there, so I decided to go ahead and just build my own. You know, why not? So we built a web-based system that allowed us to manage our calendars and invoicing and all that sort of thing. But what's interesting, what's really actually quite hilarious about it, is that in the process of developing my own software, I found that in order to work with developers, I needed to manage them. And I needed to manage design and all these different elements of software development. So I found some project management software to actually help me build project management software.
Oh, dear.
So that was my first introduction into it. And then I started a web startup about 3 years ago. We just started working on it, and I just launched it about 5 or 6 months ago, called MentionTribe.com. And that was a much more intense kind of from the ground up process, even more so than my initial project. And so I learned a lot more on top of that when we were building that project. And in fact, I actually took a lot of the things I learned in building that and implemented that in my regular business. And now I'm a podcaster at the Wow Small Business. So with all this, you know, there's a lot of variety there in the different types of things I'm doing. And I found that software really does fill a lot of those gaps.
Yeah, absolutely. That's great. It's a varied experience covering different fields. I think you and I had spoke about your HVAC business because I had studied mechanical engineering and worked briefly as a draftsman doing mostly refrigeration systems, but also some HVAC drafting. And so I'm a little geek for that technology. You know, whenever there's a new type of condenser that's super efficient, or when they phase out R12 and put in the R134A or whatever it is. And I'll leave that for the mechanical engineering podcast coming up next.
That sounds like a really entertaining one. I'm sure everyone's going to love that one.
Hey, why not? I mean, that's creative in its own right. But that is a weird past life of mine, which I don't talk about too frequently. But anyway, so I wanted to keep it on track, dive right into this collaboration software. And in my research and in my use of these over the years, it seems that there's a couple different categories. And maybe you can jump in and offer some insight. So it seems like a lot of them are, I shouldn't say a lot of them, but there's a fair number that are in this sort of laundry list or to-do list category, especially on the phone. And it's kind of for just for yourself. Remember the milk is an example, to-do, which I like using. Then there's a bunch more in a little bit bigger in scale, and they're sort of email replacements. So this is the classic Basecamp where you would talk to your coworkers, or maybe you talk to your clients, and you write messages rather than email. And that's very useful for sort of eradicating email. There's larger project management tools, which have to do with timelines and Gantt charts and maybe something about project phases. And those are really for corporate environments. I'm actually not that familiar with them. But one I do use is, again, going small. I'm sort of going around in circles, but time tracking and invoicing tools like Harvest, which is the one I like to use. But I've seen a couple recently that are also very good for that. And then there's also a more of a specialized version, at least in my experience, for image previews and feedback. So this could be like design get sign off or getsignoff.com or one of these where you can put up an example of your layouts or your websites, and a client can see it and maybe scribble notes right there, so you don't have to get in person and start presenting your work and that sort of thing. So that's almost like a niche field. So did I miss anything in sort of categorical view about different tools online?
Yeah, I mean, there are a boatload, and you actually hit on a couple that I'm not even that terribly familiar with. So when I said I used all of them, I think, you know, in this ever-changing world, that's pretty much impossible. But I would say that there's a couple different categories that I've bumped into. So there's the traditional kind of to-do list. And so, you know, a lot of people will use something as simple as their iPhone, you know, to-dos, or they'll use one that I found is called Easily Do, which is an interesting product actually made by the people from Evernote. Evernote itself actually has a to-do list. And that's really helpful in an individual case to have some sort of go-to to-do list that you use. But really, the main consideration when you come to project management is how do you use those types of things in teams?
Yeah.
So that's the consideration. Then when you get into teams, you have what I would like to call tasking. And that may not be the technical terminology to use, but it's this ability to say, this is something that is a task that needs to be accomplished, and multiple people could potentially do this. Multiple people could potentially be working on it, and someone has to sign off and say that this is done. And so there's a couple different programs that I've used for that. The first one that I start off using was Basecamp. That was my first introduction into that. And Basecamp, you know, it's simple, and but it costs money, you know, so that's a factor. And it's not – I haven't found it to be really robust. That's the best word I can use there when it comes to features.
Yeah, Basecamp is peculiar in that. I'll let you finish just a second when I kind of summarize Basecamp. So it's almost the – leader in the category because it's 10 years old already. So it's almost originated the category. And it is on purpose a minimal product. And it's supposed to be very approachable so that folks who aren't necessarily in software development or in graphic design or kind of very heavy users of internet and software tools, that they can have a familiarity with it. So I think the example is that Gwyneth Paltrow uses it with her various assistants, you know, to pick up the dry cleaning and whatever, which is kind of a funny anecdote. But at the same time, for someone who's like a real hardcore productivity user or managing a team of seven different developers and web designers or whatever, like it sometimes falls short because it is so feature-less or like – not feature-less, feature-less, but like, yes, feature-light, exactly. So that's a little summary of Basecamp.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I fall into using these types of programs probably most often. So I find myself interacting with – in fact, I still have a project that's on Basecamp that's using that. But I've actually found that my favorite in this category is currently Trello. It's the one that I use the most. And really, if you look at it from complexity, you know, being feature-rich, Trello is still a very simple product, but it's based on a very practical method. And it's the word that's used is it's based on a Kanban chart. And that's actually a Japanese terminology that was developed. And basically, it's just saying you're taking something through a life cycle. And it's essentially using, if you'd visually consider like a sticky note or something that you would post on a legitimate board, and you would say, this is ready to get started, this is being done, and now it's complete or finished. And so it just gives you a really simple way to create these different groups of people and allow them to interact with each other. And also, you know, they can – what I actually like about Trello, a lot is that their mobile application is actually pretty good. It's a pretty good mobile application as far as that goes, and I find myself using my iPhone app a lot to interact with the team on Trello. And it, also, it's free, and it's totally free, absolutely free. There's no no feature gating that I'm aware of. I could be wrong about that, but not that I'm aware of, at least.
Sure.
And so that's a really nice product for sort of the – I don't know that you would necessarily use it for enormous teams, but I found it to be a really effective tool.
Yeah, and in the similar category is one called Kanban Flow, which is, again, a Kanban board made digital where you have these cards or these boxes or whatever, and you can physically move them, you know, click and drag and put them in a different column. And I think it's helpful for a lot of people, even if you're not a visual person per se, that you could say, oh, crap, I have I have 15 tasks in this column. Maybe I should try and clear some away from this column and get them to a further piece of the project lifecycle into the, you know, for review or near completion or whatever you're calling these different aspects. So I'm definitely going to put a link to all of these tools, first of all, but especially to Kanban just as a definition, because folks are unfamiliar with it, I'll see if I can find a video that kind of sums up the usefulness of it, whether or not you're using software. Because I think that a lot of people use it by default. They just kind of, you know, at your desk with some post-its, like you said, or some index cards, and you just kind of lay them out. And you don't even know it. You don't know the name for it, but you're essentially doing a Kanban system.
And what's nice about it is you can create more than those standard three columns. You can create multiple columns that be associated with different types of states, I guess is the word. So a column represents a state of the task. So you could have something, for example, I have one that one of the states is backlog. So it's something that I don't even want you to work on right now, but it's where you can just put ideas for the future. And then I move it into ready as the next state. And so then people can pick it up and go from there. So it's nice. The other thing I like about Trello in particular is that it shows the latest image that was uploaded on that card actually within the card. So when you're looking at the whole thing, you can identify the cards easily by the images that have been attached to them. So for design, it's nice because it gives you that little preview so you can kind of, oh, I remember what that card was about because I can see the picture, you know. And maybe that's because I have a short attention span and just like pictures, you know. I never quite got over my crayons, but
yeah,
but it visually helps you see it. But another one that we use that's a similar type of thing that I would put into the tasking category is called FreedCamp, which is also a very inexpensive or free version of Basecamp, basically. And it has some nice features. Like, for example, it has a password repository, which is one of the biggest challenges when you're interacting with teams, is being able to authorize different passwords to different people that ought to have them. So it's kind of a nice feature that's built into FreedCamp. And I use that for another one of my projects and kind of vetting that out. But I think for general use, I would say most people would be able to use Trello and make it work for them.
Great. One thing I found that was a challenge is that a lot of these applications, and I mean, some of them, honestly, I don't even remember the name of. You sort of sign up for the 2-week trial and you're like, this isn't really big. But a lot of them are essentially glorified checklists. And maybe you can invite someone to do a certain task on that checklist, or you can attach an image to that check item. But essentially, it's a checklist. And the trouble that I was facing in my last job, especially where I was an in-house designer, is that not everything in life is a checklist. Sometimes there's this something a little bit larger, just a project, where the project could have ideation phases and it could have research before you actually get to the nuts and bolts of like checking things off. And right. And so have you encountered some similar problems where a checklist is perhaps too blunt of a tool and you need some more subtleties?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I've definitely found that. And that's so, which brings me to my favorite thing that I learned in the web development world, which is that tasking isn't enough. If you want to look at it as a checklist, you know, that's one way of saying it, but there is this sort of back and forth that has to happen. And email is terrible. Email is it's just terrible. It needs to be taken out back and burned and destroyed and never heard from again. The only advantage to email is that it's universal. So everyone knows how to use it. But it's really just awful. And so when you get into these, I would almost call them advanced chat, really. I mean, So my first introduction was Campfire, which is actually a Basecamp product. Basecamp was formerly called 37 Signals, and they had a couple different features. And so my first introduction to this was Campfire, and I loved it because what it would give me the ability to do is I could create groups, subgroups within my business or within my development teams, and I could say, all right, you are in the design team for this particular feature, and you put everyone into this room, and now they have the ability to share files, share documents, even do conference calls within the context of that particular subject matter, and it gives you the ability to brainstorm a lot better. But what we found out was Campfire really a pretty limited product. Mm-hmm. I still use it actually in my brick and mortar business because they just have a really nice, simple iOS app that I just love, and my technicians love it. And so that's actually what we use for technician communication in the field, a kind of a weird repurposing of that tool, but really enjoy it. Now, the other ones that I would say that are really pushing the envelope when it comes to this side of it is Slack and HipChat. I don't know if you're familiar with both of those, but
I've heard Slack. A couple of previous guests have used it, and I know Josh Miles in his design firm uses that for inter-office communication.
Yeah, and so you can look at it like just a pure communication tool, but it's really more powerful than that because it gives you the ability to create these separate, they call them rooms. Mm-hmm. And so you can create rooms for as tight of a topic as you want, and it allows for better free flow of thought, where checklists don't really, like you said, they don't really work. They're kind of limiting. It's like, all right, well, is this a to-do or not? We're really just kind of trying to communicate through something here. We're trying to come to a conclusion. We're not really checking a box, you know? And so both Slack and HipChat are great. HipChat's significantly less expensive than Slack, but Slack is going to be the dominant force in the marketplace. If I had to bet my money on any product out there, I would say that Slack is going to take over a lot of these other things because they're just doing very forward-thinking things like allowing one-to-one video communication between team members. So like you could be chatting back and forth and be like, all right, I want to show you my screen. And then you just, boom, you can start sharing screens between the two right away without having to go into a different program and those sorts of things. So it's really a collaboration tool. It's not so much a project management tool, but they're developing it slowly but surely into more of a project management tool. But I would still put that into the category of chat or collaboration as opposed to what I would call tasking.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. I don't even know where to begin. There's so many of these. So something I found as well as a challenge was that you would have an item and it would just have its own conversation, and the conversation would get really, really long. And then you, as a team, or as a project manager, you're sort of thinking, okay, do we need to archive this? Do we need to sort of break it off into its own discussion? Like, it's still the first draft of this, you know, cover design or whatever it is.
Right.
But you've been talking about it for 3 months, and then now it's become so cumbersome that the search tool is almost inept, and if there's files attached, you know, there could be 15 different files attached, so now you don't even know what you're talking about anymore. So right. Do you have a problem with this, that sometimes you get overloaded in a particular vertical or in a particular item, depending on what it is? And I don't know, how have you found to overcome that, those type of situations?
You know, that is a major challenge. It really is. And you're never going to get away from the active participation of a real project manager, whether or not that person is someone who knows the topic the best or not, someone who's willing to make the calls and say, all right, you know, enough of this. Now we're going to consolidate. That thread is dead, and now we're going to move the most important parts here. You know, you're never going to get away from that completely. But something that I've used in a lot of cases is trying to take really complex things and using mind mapping, mm-hmm. which is not a traditional way of handling this, and I understand that, but it's the way that works for me. So I actually use a program called MindMeister, which has a free version as well, and it allows you to kind of take more complex things and say, look, I know we think we're talking about one thing here, but actually it has these other branches. And so as opposed to getting this gigantic concept that gets so confusing, you can now create some branches and title those, and then you can actually store links and images or whatever in each branch of that. And then you can take that and nest it into whatever project you were using and say, all right, if you want to make sense of this, the 50,000-foot view of this thing so we're not getting too confused – take a look at this mind map here. And it's like, oh, okay, now I see how this breaks down. And I've had to do that in a lot of cases. It's still not ideal. It's still complex. As best you can, it's as a project manager, you just have to kind of make the call to say, all right, is this actually necessary or not? Or can we just go ahead and scrap some of this stuff? And sometimes that is what you have to do.
Yes, absolutely. I agree. And I think that this sort of touches on the topic of workplace dynamics more generally, where you need someone who has a certain amount of authority, you know, not necessarily to lock out the thread or like delete people's comments, but just to be like, okay, it's done. We're talking about something else now. Right. And especially, I mean, this could be tough as well. Where, you know, you and I are sort of geeks, and we'll go into a workplace environment where you have a lot of people who come from corporate America. Maybe they have bad habits. Maybe they have an email addiction, or they're just more free flow in general. And then you say, okay, now instead of writing, you have to come to here and check these boxes and write in this chat thread. Like, it can be sort of authoritative. But at the same time, that's kind of necessary to get everyone on the same page.
Yeah, and what I would say is this is a very overarching principle, but pictures of success is the way that I would call this. And so when you have something that's starting to get a little messy, especially when you're using software, and maybe you're finding that you're using it in a way that it really shouldn't be used, which is kind of what we're talking about. You get to things where you're adding in complexity, or you're starting to – it's not becoming about the actual work now. Now it's becoming about like all these little side things. And so sometimes what you have to do is say, okay, you see how this looks? That's not how it's supposed to look. Here's a picture of how it's supposed to look. And
yeah,
you take a situation or a project that actually where it was handled the right way. And so examples of this are like in my brick and mortar business, I had to actually do a write up and actually have a meeting where I said, look, here's the different ways that you can communicate things. And here's the different appropriate methods for different types of things. So, for example, don't call someone on their cell phone if it's not a very urgent communication. Even if it's important. If it's important but not urgent, then you may use, you know, Slack, or you may use Campfire in the past. So kind of showing what's appropriate and what's inappropriate for communication and showing what that looks like is helpful to kind of get people on the same page as far as what to expect, because everybody wants to kind of do the right thing, but often we get used to using a particular tool and we end up, you know, the old saying is that when what you have in your hand is a hammer, everything looks like a nail.
Yeah.
And it's that same principle. So if you get used to using a particular thing, so say you get used to using mind mapping, then you're going to start trying to use mind mapping for things that it's not effective for. And so you do have to kind of communicate, you know, what the different modalities are for the different outcomes you're trying to accomplish, or the different types of tasks.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, more generally, this is the problem with communication these days. I suppose this is the challenge of our time, that you have folks from different generations and different backgrounds. And, you know, my uncle worked for years for NSA and CIA, and he sort of discovered late in his career that you have three generations in the same office. So you have people his age, you know, kind of upper 60s, and then you have people who are early 40s, and then you have someone who's 22. And when you're 22 years old, your primary method of communication is text messaging,
right?
Somehow. But in those buildings, they lock out cellular communications. So now the device that you rely on in your day-to-day and in your interpersonal life is literally outmoded. And you know, now you have to learn to use a regular phone, and then learn to use email, and learn to write effectively. So this is a larger issue. And the classic example, of course, is when you get like texts from your client, and you're like, dude, not only am I driving, so don't text message me, but also this is business. Don't text message me. Like, and right. So it's absolutely a struggle. I think we're all going through that. And some of these tools, along with some gentle leadership, I think can make some sense of it.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah, so I would say, but having all of these tools at your disposal and at least understanding what each one does is really kind of the first thing I would say. So establishing I would say that everyone should have a method for keeping their own to-do list. They should have a method for establishing team communication or chat, whatever you want to call that. They should have a method for assigning tasks, a way that works well. And I would say any way that you're going to do tasking, it should have a good way to do that on mobile, because the bulk of our time is not spent in front of a computer, especially if we're living the life we want to live. So having a way that you can quickly comment on a design or something easily when you're out and about, you know, at the beach or whatever, is very – I would say it's necessary. And then I would say having at least some method of mind mapping, or the ability to create a visual construct that shows how things are interconnected with one another. That's something that's really nice about mind mapping that's difficult to do with other forms of project management. And hopefully someday someone will create something that does all of this seamlessly, you know, but for now you are kind of using different things for different purposes.
Absolutely. And I want to take that notion, what I call fragmentation. I want to put that on the shelf for just a minute and sort of get through the other categories. And I want to hear your opinion about this. But
sure,
so the next one is, we're sort of wading into these waters, but about the larger project management packages. So I'm thinking of the ones that are very customizable. I'm thinking of Jira from Atlassian. I'm thinking of Podio, which is essentially a database that you can really customize every every project and every template. And some of the other ones like Workamajig, which is an ad agency software, and it really aims to have so many tools in one place. But these are now enterprise level. They're not really for the mom and pop studios or for one person who just wants to be more organized. Do you have any experience using a larger package like this?
You know, I have bumped up against Jira before, but truthfully, you know, to actually dig in and actually see how it would work, it never really made sense for me. And I think the bulk of people, probably it doesn't, unless you have this enormous enterprise-level team. So truthfully, I wouldn't probably be the guy to ask about some of those real high-level, enterprise-level things, because truthfully, that was the struggle that I had when I first wanted to find something to use for my service business. The ones that I came up against, for example, ACT is one that's used very often in the service industry. I tried using it, and I just wasn't happy with it. It was just too difficult to customize for what I wanted it to be. And again, I'm sure it can be customized, but I want to be able to be the one to customize it. I don't want to have to hire somebody. I don't want to have an on-staff IT guy. So
yeah, absolutely. I find the same thing. I've mentioned in previous episodes that I use Podio for my podcast for the workflow. And I made it, you know, very custom. I have podcasts that have a list of episodes, and then within those episodes, I have guests, which I can, you know, add and modify information for each guest. And then I have a checklist. But then even there, there's some shortcomings, because you know, whether it's the interface and you just say, I wish this wasn't five clicks to go back and around, or something that could be more problematic and say, wow, there's no way to rearrange checklists in the list, or checked items in the list. So little things like that. It's like there is no perfect tool, which is really frustrating, especially when you see how many of these tools have emerged into a relatively new category. I would say even 10 years ago, there wasn't this notion of collaboration software. And especially with the rise of remote working and broadband and mobile, you're seeing a huge burst in this category. But there's no clear winner, because every company is different, which is sort of the good thing, but also like really frazzling to try and get your head around.
Yeah, and I will confess that I'm a little bit of a geek in that I like to try any kind of new startup that I see, any new product that's out there. And so there's a lot of them I'm sure I've used that I'm missing here, because I've just used so many of them, but so many of them are similar to each other. One I forgot to mention was Asana. That's another really popular project management type of tool that I have used, and it was fine. You know, it just wasn't a reason to go away from what I was currently using. But I would say everyone should probably keep their eyes on Slack, because I think they're the ones who stand to be the one that probably tries to unify this as much as it is possible, because they're a very nimble tech startup type, and they're very well-funded, and they've got a really good user interface, which is really the trial when you're dealing with anything that has a lot of complexity, is that if you're going to try to work on it with mobile, that's where the issue comes in, because you have such limited screen space. And so, but you need it to work with mobile. You know, we need it to work on our phones or our iPads. And so if it can't, well, then that really limits us. And so that's kind of the issue that we have, is that something that's going to work really well on mobile is going to, by its very nature, be somewhat limited.
Absolutely. And on mobile especially, this kind of leads into the next category. I feel like when you're on the go, airports, wherever you find yourself, that's where you need to have the basics. And especially if you're interacting with a customer or a client, that you'll need to get a report or get the information about how much the project is going to cost, an instant quote type of thing. So that kind of leads into time tracking and invoicing tools, which I think have done a good job on mobile generally, because if it's something where you're adding an expense to your account, you know, you're tracking a receipt that you got at the airport in Minneapolis, or whether you're, you know, billing a client for a certain amount of time and you need to kind of have the stopwatch effect, that those have been pretty good on the mobile versions. I'm thinking of Harvest and FreshBooks, mm-hmm. and what are some of the other ones, like Free Agent Pro is kind of for freelancers and solo designers and that type of thing. And I'm curious of your experience, especially in the HVAC business, where you have people on different sites and they're on the go and they're in trucks and that. Have you found a solution that works for you in terms of sort of producing invoices and quotes and communicating with the home office?
Yeah, so that was actually the main issue that we had, which is the reason why we created our own cloud-based solution. And this was back in like 2009 when we started building this. And so there wasn't as much available at that time. Nowadays, I would I would say, yeah, Harvest and FreshBooks are the two that I would definitely point people to. I really like FreshBooks because of its simplicity. I've done some work on it. Obviously, it doesn't really solve everything. A simple thing that you can use for yourself is a program called Toggl, which is T-O-G-G-L, which is a cool, super light, super simple way of doing time tracking. It doesn't do the robust invoicing side of it, but it gives you a really nice way of doing that. And then when you're dealing with remote teams, screenshotmonitor.com is a new product that kind of does, if you've ever used Elance or Odesk or any of those types of outsourcing systems where you can see screenshots from time to time and actually get a really good feeling of what someone is doing, that provides that, and you can even use that for your customers. You know, if you want to provide a very transparent method for them to be able to see what you're working on. Again, is that mobile? Well, not so much. You know, obviously, Toggl gives you the ability to do that. But if you're looking for a holistic solution, yeah, I mean, I think at this point, I would say Harvest and FreshBooks probably kind of own that marketplace as far as being more holistic.
Cool. Yeah, and going one step further from time tracking into proper accounting software, I've tried Wave Apps recently. I signed up for that for my business, and it seems pretty cool, especially because it's free, which is a little peculiar because you're like, wait, how does it work? But Wave Apps is there. Xero, X-E-R-O, is also a popular small business accounting suite. And there's a whole other in these categories as well. And these are more like they'll look at your bank account. They'll get the transactions so you can do day-to-day accounting. But they'll also produce expense reports and do some tax considerations as well. So if you're actually a finance professional in an organization, that has a little more use to you rather than saying like, oh, our designer spent 2 hours sketching. Like that, you know, that's nitty-gritty. But this is kind of at the end of the day when there's a dollar sign.
Yeah, yeah. And so you're really good at this. You're naming some really good names, some of the ones I was going to point out. So you're taking my job, man. But no, I would say, you know, so it's kind of like if you've ever used Mint for your personal finances, that's what a lot of these things do is they kind of go in and they look at what's going on and they pull the activity and they categorize it for you. And yeah, you know, Xero is one that X-E-R-O is one that I've looked at. And you know, it's tricky for me because I'm using it in a more traditional business. You know, we've got like, you know, 30 employees actually working. So in that case, we're kind of still stuck using the more, you know, traditional, you know, QuickBooks type programs they're kind of the large enterprise level types of programs. But if I had my choice, I would definitely be using something like Xero and FreshBooks to run my business if I was, you know, operating as more of a solopreneur.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll see what the future brings because it would be great if more companies could start choosing their tools and they didn't have to rely on, say, Microsoft Word, for example, as the kind of de facto standard. I mean, even PDF is getting to be a little kind of clunky and folks now are typing in plain text. And so we're finding the solutions. I think the whole world is struggling with this at a certain degree. Yeah, man. All right. I'm going to take just a quick break and then we'll get back to some of those topics that I put on the shelf. So I just want to take a moment to pause and remind folks listening that they should check out busycreator.com. That's the website for this podcast where we have all the show notes. And especially on an episode like this, we're going to have all the links enumerated with a little description. We're going to talk about recommendations. If there's a free versus a paid app, I'll make a note of it. It's all going to be on busycreator.com. And that's also the website where you can check out some blog posts I've written. I usually produce one a week. And where you can sign up for the email list. And the email has more tips which aren't available on the website. So definitely check out the website, busycreator.com. All right. I want to come back to the big issue, which I was definitely going to raise, and you were talking about it, about fragmentation. And this is a monster because, as I mentioned, there's so many of these tools popping up, and a lot of them are really clever, and they're produced by some smart developers and designers, but they don't always talk to each other. And so you might have, to solve all your various office problems, you might have 4 or 5 different applications that you have to log into, and then you have to remember how to use them, and they have a slightly different interface and all these type of things. And it's amazing how fast this can get out of hand and overwhelming. So would you say that it's better to look for a slightly larger tool that has more features and try and consolidate like that? Or would you say, you know, like the Craftsman, you have a different tool for a different job?
Yeah, so it really is. This is a case of do as I say, not as I do, because it's very difficult for me not to try new things. And so I'm the guy who I'll sit down and I'll find a new tool and I'm like, all right, we're implementing this new tool. I love it, you know. But for most people, I think what you really want to do is you want to find out what are the few things that you need to do regularly. and then just find what suits you best. Because if you, for example, if you have the money in the bank that you can spend on a more holistic tool that is going to serve you for years and years to come, then that may make sense. I think for most people, especially solopreneurs, small businesses, designers, people, you know, people who are artistic in nature, you're probably going to want to look at a less expensive solution. So when you do that, you're going to be using more tools. What I would suggest is look at what you can do with integrations. Many of these tools have integrations that they actually create right within their own system, so that you can integrate, FreshBooks with, say, I'm trying to think which one they would, like with Evernote, for example, to store a particular thing or to remind you of something. There's a lot of these things that you can do right within the application. And then the other thing you can do is look at something like If This Then That, sometimes you can do multiple things even there, and you have to be creative. I mean, it's not really, there's not these box solutions, which is exactly what we're saying, but really exploring what you can do with interactions between or integrations in between different pieces of software. For example, just to give a perfect example of this, I had integrated Campfire when I was using that for chat with GitHub. And so every time someone would do a code commit, it would post on Campfire that the code commit was done. So I would be able to go in there and just have a very good running tally of who was, you know, committing to the application and when. And so it gave me a good sense if someone did a commit and then I went to test the dev site and it crashed on me. Well, I had a pretty good indication of who did it without having to actually even open up GitHub, which saves time, you know. So there's things like that that you can be creative with. And, there's no real set solution, but I would say most people are probably going to be stuck using some of these more nimble softwares and try to get your core ones right. So I would say try to get a method for tasking, get that one right. Get a method for doing to-dos, which is really a form of tasking, and then also get a way for team communication and collaboration. And if you get those in place and you're comfortable with them and you have a good mobile application and good integrations, that's going to save you quite a bit.
Sure. It's definitely tough, and I find myself – I mean, I'm working by myself, you know, as Starship Design and also in the Busy Creator, and that when I have to set up a project – I sometimes have to set it up at two or three different places because of the different tools I'm using. So, for example, I will create files in my Finder, which is essentially Google Drive. And then I'm also putting it together in Podio for a workflow that's established there, like I mentioned. And then I'll also put in Harvest so I can have a project number so I can track time. So I'm setting at least three places. And if I was even keeping track of it again in, say, a Google Sheets document or an Excel document, that would be at another place. So it can become a little overwhelming. But I think that if you are familiar with multiple tools that do a very specialized thing well, then you can manage and get your head around it. The trouble comes, I think, when other people are making demands on you and they're introducing you to other tools. And so, you know, you're working with a client and then they say, oh, yeah, I want you to come over to our office for 2 hours of training in Salesforce or something that you've never used before, Lighthouse or Pivotal Tracker. You know, those are more development tools, whereas you're a designer, you don't really use those. So that's where it can get really peculiar. And a friend of mine who was my former copywriting partner, she has freelance clients, and each of them are using something different, whether it's Asana or Basecamp or whatever. So she'll be, at any given time, her email box is just blowing up with all these different alerts from the different softwares she's using.
Yeah.
And I introduced her to something called Taco App, which is relatively new, and this aims to be a unifying website where you can get all your tasks pulled in from all these different software systems that we're talking about. And I think more of these are going to emerge, and it's almost a little bit meta, where you now have online software to manage and keep track of online software. And so the future is interesting, so we'll see how it goes as in terms of fragmentation, whether more tools are going to be unifying and merging, or whether they'll just do it through APIs and kind of talking to one another in a universal way. It remains to be seen.
Yeah, I would say, and so I'm gonna take you in the Wayback Machine to the pre-Google days, because I remember when we used to have Netscape and all these different crazy search engines, and they actually started developing aggregator search engines that would take, you know, so you'd search your term, and then it would search all 10 of them and then aggregate the best results. And then Google came around, and everyone's like, oh, okay, you know, forget that.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably, we're at that stage right now where there's a lot of noise in the industry. But I think pretty quickly there's going to be these leaders that are going to emerge, and they're going to – they may not all merge into the same company, but they are going to all integrate with each other so seamlessly that a lot of these questions are going to be answered. The question really is how are you going to get by for now, you know?
Yes.
And I think – so just to kind of add a little value here, what I would say if I was just, say, a designer or someone who – in my particular, when I say just a designer, that sounds terrible. What I mean by that is I'm all over the place. So I have all these different types of projects going on, podcasting and my regular business and my web startup and, you know, developing other types of software. So I'm all kind of all over the place. But if I was going to just choose one way of doing it, probably what I would do is I would use, something like Evernote to manage my own tasks. I would use, Google Drive is my favorite currently, among the, large storage linking type of services that are out there, and we've tried all of them just because of its minimal cost, especially if you have a lot of really big files. That's where things like Dropbox become kind of cost prohibitive. And then I would probably use Trello in order to do my task management, and then probably use something like Slack if I was going to do my integrations or communications with teams. And the reason for that is what's really nice that you can do, because you were expressing this issue, is that within Trello, you can actually take your Google Drive links and embed them directly into Trello. It has a place for that link, and it actually stores it in a very linear way that you can go back to later. And so by taking that mass storage and putting that together with tasks, that takes the bulk of the weight off of communication, because that's really one of the huge issues with email right now, is especially in the design community, is that you've got these massive files, you know, that you're trying to interact with in an easy way. And so that gives you a nice way of doing that. Another thing that I forgot to mention was I'm using a product for password management called Dashlane. I really, really like it. And I know there are some issues with it. I've only been using it now for the last 3 or 4 months. And people have said there's some things, but I really, really like it for team password sharing. And I just like it on my devices because it keeps all of my passwords with me no matter where I am, which seems like we should have solved that a long time ago. But this is the first software that I've seen that does a great job with it. So when I want to log in on Facebook on my phone and I want to use some crazy super secure password, it remembers it. And when I'm on all my computers, it remembers it and makes it really nice. So, so that's kind of my... That's my primary toolbox if I was gonna be sort of a simple lean designer or solopreneur.
Absolutely, no, I appreciate that. I was actually going to ask you for an example project, what you would use, and I think it varies depending on what type of project you're doing. But that's a really great picture you've painted for us. There's one thing that I was reminded of, and I want to hear your opinion on this as well. That in a work environment, especially in an agency environment or a digital production studio or whatever, that there is a need for collaborative resources. So this might not be something that's attached to a particular project. It's just reference material. It could be a list of articles. It could be some stock photos and things like that. And it's really tough to build this kind of knowledge base. I've seen some groups that use a wiki, but to me, a wiki is not very user-friendly because it's almost like you have to program it as you go. Have you discovered anything that's really great for team knowledge? I mean, whether it's a password or whether it's something else?
Yeah, you know, so this is really – you're probably not going to like my answer here, but we've tried a lot of different things. And let me give you an example of this, which is super not techie, but it's a real one. We had a huge account that we got that was just way larger than anything we had ever done before. And we were going from being a relatively local business to managing – thousands and thousands of air conditioners statewide for this one client. And we wanted to keep pictures of every unit. We wanted to keep documentation as far as the readings that we took. And it was like, this is even bigger than what our site could do easily. And so what we did is, and this is going to sound so old school, but we created these Google Drive folders, and they were very hierarchical, so that you would just click through. So it's basically like taking a folder hierarchy on your computer, but just doing it on Google Drive. And then you can share it with people, create authorizations. So you're only sharing it with people who have need to know those things. And so let's say if you're wanting to do even a tutorial, or if you're wanting to do a knowledge base, like you said, where you would say, all right, this would be office information, and then they would click it. And then it would be like, all right, these are onboarding of CSRs. And so you'd click that, and then, all right, this is how you take a phone call. This is how you schedule, this is how you dispatch a service call. Then they click through that, and then you would open up into videos or pictures or whatever, and it would just keep drilling down. Super, super simplistic.
Yeah.
What's so great about it is that you can control the access to the different tiers. And so let's say that you had a folder that had a lot of passwords or something in it. Well, you could restrict who would have access to it, and you could give them access and then remove their access to that folder as you needed to. And so it just really is very, very powerful. And so, for example, with this construct, we had some things that we wanted our customer to have access to, and we had some things we didn't want them to have access to. It was really easy for us to create that then. So we'd have a customer version of this folder, and then we would also lock out certain documents within that folder that they wouldn't have access to. So Google Drive just gives you great granular control over access versus some of the others like Dropbox or iCloud or some of the other ones.
Sure, absolutely. No, that's great. I mean, quickly, one thing I find as a limitation on Google Drive, and again, I use it for the Busy Creator, is that it's tough to roll back files compared to Dropbox. Like, it just, that's one very specific example, but as a designer, I have run across that where I'm like, oh my God, I need yesterday's InDesign file because I just messed it up, and Dropbox has a better implementation of that particular feature. But the point is well taken. And I mean, my only question or continual want in that category is that a lot of times when you're adding knowledge to a company or whatever, it's things like a web link, or it could be an article. And it's something that to save a link in plain text or in a document seems less smart. It could be smarter.
Right.
Like, you could, you know, it should go into a database, and then you can assign certain tags and categories. And it's like, ah, oh man, there's got to be something. I know there actually is a couple. There's one called Kipt, K-I-P-P-T, and they started as a password, or sorry, they started as a bookmarking tool, which you could use for yourself. And then they became more collaborative. I think they are now in this team space, whatever we're calling it. Doesn't even have a proper name. But that's like, okay, it's another $12 to, you got to hand over every month just to keep track of that. So it's an ongoing struggle, and it's a brave new world. So I'm definitely interested to hear from the audience about what type of tools they're using, whether they're an agency environment or a two-person environment or what. And that's usually where I ask the different guests about their workflows and stuff. But you've illuminated how you work with your different companies, which I appreciate. Yeah.
And I'll kind of plug a book that was done by a friend of mine. His name is Nick Loper, and the name of the book is Work Smarter. And he basically, what he does there, and it's really smart, is he takes, for those of you who are familiar with Entrepreneur on Fire, anyone in the podcasting world is, and everybody who comes on that show, all these entrepreneurs, give their number one web tool. And so he took all of those suggestions and he aggregated them into different categories. And so this book, which is it's an Amazon ebook. It just breaks that all down with links to all these tools. And it's a really, really good resource. I found a couple different tools from using that resource. So I would definitely suggest that.
Yeah, great. I do learn from that show as well that there's a couple, like there's one called Ginkgo. I think it's called Ginkgo app. And it's a non-linear writing tool. So you can, if you're doing a website or if you're writing an outline for a thesis or something, you could jump around without having to just scroll for miles and miles to the different sections. And that was something I discovered. That was just on the tip of my tongue, so I'll mention that. But everything that I'm talking about and that we're talking about is going to be in the show notes for this episode, because it's going to be a huge list, but I think it'll be a very productive and a very resourceful place to go to find these different tools that folks can try.
Absolutely.
Brian, this has been a great conversation. I really appreciate you coming on and lending your expertise and providing some logic. I think you and I are struggling with the same things, and some of them you've solved for yourself, and we're still struggling together. So I appreciate you lending your time. How can folks get in touch with you and see some of your work, interact with your businesses, and try your different software tools?
Yeah, I would say the best way to get a hold of me would just be to go to brianorr.com, which is BRYANORR.com. And because I'm so kind of all over the place, sometimes people are like, what is this? You know, there's all kinds of different stuff. But that's where I actually host my podcast, The Well Small Business. And I also have information about my favorite web tools that I'm using right now. And it's always growing and changing. And anyone who has any questions about anything can reach out to me. It's always a work in progress. So I certainly don't have all the answers, but I'm happy to help in any way I can.
Absolutely. No, I appreciate your time coming on. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much.
All right, that was our chat on software tools. I'm really curious to hear what each of you are using in your different studios and offices. Definitely leave us a comment on the blog post for this episode, which again is available at busycreator.com/podcast/31. The best way to hear this podcast is to subscribe in iTunes. The link for that is simply busycreator.com/iTunes. You can also search for The Busy Creator on Stitcher or your phone's podcast app. And next week, I speak to Vijay Matthews, a web design and mobile app developer based in New York.
The opportunities kept on coming in, so it was almost an inevitable scalability that we had to kind of to solve. How do we maintain our integrity, but also grow at a pace where we can still manage the quality of work?
And that episode will be released next week. I appreciate you listening and connecting online. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to the Busy Creator podcast. Don't forget to visit us online at busycreator.com. Until next time, get busy and create.